bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Back in Southern California tonight. Yeah, back in La La Land, Anaheim, California. Tonight, the Orioles and the Angels in Game 2 of a three-game series. Last night, Dylan Bundy was outstanding. Manny Machado, a big night. A grand slam last night. Manny with 9 RBIs in his last couple of games. The skipper, Buck Showalter, and the Geico Manager's Report right after this.
All right, back in Southern California, again with the skipper, Buck Showalter. This is the Manager's Report. Buck, it would seem that for Dylan Bundy, that extra rest is kind of working out, isn't it?
Well, he's pitched pretty well on 4 days rest, too. But he was outstanding last night. Great command of the fastball. Had a great presentation. I think what will go unnoticed some last night, Joe, is what a great job he did with base runners. This team came in, I mean, leads American League in stolen base attempts with second and third, and very successful with it. A lot of hit and runs, a lot of push envelopes, and he kept them from doing that. He and John Russell did a great job with the different looks he gave them with people on base, but that's what you have to do with that type of team. But that was a very mature, veteran-like performance.
What does that take, Buck? A good job with men on base, base runners. Does it take know-how or does it take want-to, as you put it?
You know, Joe, that's a little bit of a sticking point that we try to teach our guys. When you're teaching a guy a changeup in Aberdeen or Delmarva, and you're trying to keep a guy from going 90 feet because our game's played in 90-foot increments. You know, the home runs, you hit 30 in a year, you got power, but that's like 30 times out of 600 plate appearances. Do the math. And you need to teach them a changeup, but you also need to teach them how to hold runners. And these guys come up here 1-6, 1-7 the plate. They can't survive, especially relievers, or you end up in the bullpen. And Dylan, very early on, when we first got him, made it a point to be good at it. And all our guys are, or they're not up here. You have to be good at holding runners, but Dylan's better than most.
It's all part of it. Let me ask you, Buck, the last 10 games or so, your starter's ERA is right there around 2. Now, what leads to a collective improvement like that?
Well, there's a lot of things, you know, a little extra rest. If we knew that for sure, we wouldn't have had some of the struggles we've had. Some guys just eventually revert to their track record. I think some of them kind of catch a second wind. And quite frankly, some of them get tired of struggling. And they get out of their own way and quit thinking too much and just trust their natural ability.
Again, with skipper Buck Showalter in Anaheim, as we continue with the manager's report. Talk about Dylan Bundy. He was obviously on his game last night, Buck. Mike Trout, double and a home run against a very good pitcher. He's got over 1,000 hits now at the age of 26. Why is he such a good hitter?
He's got great range with the bat, and he's actually worked to improve a couple of things that were a weakness when he first got to the big leagues. Hard to imagine. He's throwing better than he ever has. He's handling a place where you had to pitch him a lot. You can't stay there all the time anymore. And you look at his swing and you think he's a low ball hitter, but a lot of guys, he knows what he doesn't handle well, and his damage to contact ratio is real high, obviously. And he just plays the game with a real youthful exuberance. You know, everything he hits is a double until you stop him. It's fun to watch, you know, and because he's plays the game with great effort. He's a very physical runner. He's a very physical player. Reminds me a lot of the way Lou Brock used to run.
How much of that can you say about Manny Machado?
Oh, Manny's, man, you know, every player's different, though, Joe. Gosh, think about how boring it'd be if everybody was exactly the same, you know. They still get to the same end game. And what works for Mike Trout and the way he has to do things to be successful may not work for somebody else. So, you know, I don't try to clone them all. I think that's a mistake to have everybody fit in a tight box. Otherwise, they wouldn't need a manager or coaches, right?
So what's Manny doing well right now, then?
You know, I think Manny you know, that was a big hole he climbed out of, and it's a real testament to him. It's something he's going to really reach back for as his career goes on. He's going to be able to, and I told him that, because the game will beat you up, but if you stay true to it, it'll let you up if you have the type of ability Manny does. And, you know, everybody said, oh, he's got to start going the other way. He's got to do this. Don't think he's not trying it. He's pulling out the kitchen sink. If you saw all the work that he and Scott Coolbaugh do, and sometimes you just got to let it come to you. It's tough to let the game come to you when you're pressing all the time. And that's just normal human nature to press when things aren't going well.
Yeah. Well, he's eye-popping the last couple of games. Final question. Game tonight, Hellickson against Parker Bridwell, a former Oriole prospect. When you look at Bridwell, I mean, he's having great success, so you're happy for him. Do you sometimes say, man, I wish he was still with us?
You know what, Joe? I don't live in that world. Whether it's Oliver Drake, whether it's Jake Arrieta, whether it's Parker Bridwell, you know, whether it's some of the guys we traded in Hader or Davies, you know, I'm happy for him. You know, and for whatever people want to critique a trade and this and that, whatever, I think, you know, it's like when I told Oliver Drake, you know, he was out of options. He probably wasn't going to make our club, and we were going to be, you know, we knew that the team that he went to with his numbers in the minor leagues was going to get a great opportunity, and he got a chance at 30 years old to move his career forward. And that's a lot, same thing with Parker. You know, I can go in a lot of detail about how he ended up in Anaheim, but it doesn't really matter. And we're hoping he's a really good pitcher for a long time, except when he faces us.
There you go. Tonight, game two in Anaheim.
In a moment, Jim Hunter and Caleb Joseph, they talk Oriole pitching when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Caleb Joseph up next on the Orioles Radio Network. Orioles and Angels, middle game of three here in Anaheim tonight. Birds won last night to get back to 500. Visiting with Caleb Joseph. And Caleb, the team surge has coincided with the resurgence of the Orioles starters. Last 10 games, the starters have combined for an ERA of 2.02. Now, you're behind the plate with Wellington. What are you seeing over the past 10 games that has led them to be this consistent?
Well, I think what I see is similar to what we saw the first month of the season, and it was execution of pitches, and it's just that simple. Been asked a lot about it, but if you look, Dylan didn't have a new pitch last night. He didn't have 10 miles an hour on the fastball. He had a little bit of juice, but nothing that would make you think that was the exact reason. It was location of pitches. And what we've seen is if you take a 100-pitch start, if they locate between 60 and 65% of the time, it's probably going to be an average start. If they get above 70, you're looking at a really nice start. Our pitchers, their pitches play, and it's shown in the first month, and it's showing right now. And it completely comes down to execution of the pitches. We have good game plans. When we execute what we're trying to do, more times than not, we get good results. So sometimes it's easier said than done. Just go out there and just throw it down and away. Well, you know, sometimes you have to really grind it out, and you have to find ways to make those pitches in tough spots when you may not have a good feel for it that day. And that's when, if you can get to 65-70% of pitches executed, you're probably going to be in a good spot, and you're probably going to end up with a W.
All right, you mentioned execution of pitches, so I'm assuming this is more than just commanding the fastball, because they all have secondary pitches that are very important parts of their repertoire.
Yeah, it's every pitch. It's you know, when the pitch is called, say a fastball down and away, they throw the ball down and away, and if they miss, they miss off the plate, versus calling a down and away fastball and the ball ends up and in to a righty. It's those type of execution things that we're talking about. If we call a 0-2 bounced slider, does that pitcher bounce it? Does he throw it down in the zone, or does he throw a cement mixer that hangs up in the zone? Those are the type of execution things we're talking about. And we've really seen it with our guys. If they execute, they can really have a lot of success. I know it's like a broken record, but it's not like each starter is coming up with a gyro ball and split fork fast. I mean, they've got the same stuff. So when they concentrate on locating it versus trying to do too much with it and believing that their stuff plays, they usually have good results.
Did the staff as a whole come to that conclusion together? Because as you say, they're the same pitchers that we've been seeing all year. And a couple of years ago, this team won the division title, 2014, and with many of the same pitchers. This game is so difficult, I understand that, but it's almost as if somebody turned a switch and all of them got back to what they know they can do and what they can be.
Yeah, I mean, there's been conversations. There's been conversations spring training, first month of the season, second month, and so forth and so on. But there's also been some kind of behind closed doors, one-on-one conversations too, just between players. You know, like, hey, this, you know, you're way too good to be performing the way you're performing. We have a high expectation of you, and I know you do of yourself, but let's continue to focus on blank and just let it all out there and be open and honest with each other and sometimes, you know, when pitchers are not going well, you have to remind them how good they are. They're very fragile people. They're a lot like your wife when things aren't going well. Sometimes you really need to fluff them up a little bit. And that's played with some of our guys. And some of our guys have just gotten back to doing what they have done well for a long period of time. And I know Dan's talked about it, and guys that have track records, and, you know, they're showing back up. So I think it'd be nice to make up some story that they've found some special drink that they drink before every start, but it's just not the case. But that's, in my mind, that's a good thing. That means it's sustainable, that they're not changing, they're not doing anything crazy, they're just being themselves, and they're actually locating versus being timid and not focusing on the execution of the pitch.
Jeremy Hellickson makes his second Orioles start tonight. You caught his first, and the day before that, you sat with him most of the game on the bench to get to know him. What impressed you about his start, 7 shutout innings against Kansas City?
I loved his curveball. I looked at the past year, 2 years in Philadelphia, and I didn't think he was using his curveball as much, and he agreed. And he has a really nice curveball. I don't remember him throwing the cut fastball the way he did when we saw him in Tampa in 2014, but that was a good pitch for him. And with their lineup, the way they had those lefties, he was able to throw the cut fastball up and in. It's like a true cut fastball. It really moves more vertically than horizontal. And when you have that type of weapon and you can run a heater off of that, not to mention his plus-plus changeup, and then you've got a good depth pitch with a curveball. He's got weapons that he can defend himself with. I like Jeremy because he's been around. He knows what he wants to do. He's open to suggestions. And at the same time, he definitely has a game plan. And he knows that he's only effective when he executes. And you can tell, you can see in his windup, you can see the concentration of him wanting to execute the pitch. It's really fun to work with. Hopefully we can get another great start out of him tonight.
Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
All right, good morning to you. And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel with Jim Hunter back in Anaheim, where the Orioles are tonight. They wind up in the loss column. And they lose a 1-run game, as it turns out. Angels win it by a score of 3-2. The Orioles had some late opportunity. They had runners on first and third, nobody out. Eighth inning in a 2-run game, they could not score. And then Caleb Joseph made it a 1-run game with his bases empty home run in the top of the ninth inning. The Orioles, now this season, they are now 13-12 in 1-run games. But the game tonight was very winnable. It just did not happen. Jeremy Hellickson, he looked real good through 6 innings. In fact, he struck out the side in the 6th inning. And then all of a sudden gave up 4 consecutive hits and a couple of runs in the bottom of the 7th inning, and that's what did him in and the Orioles. Angels against Hellickson had a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the 2nd inning. 1 out, bases empty. Simmons got a base hit. There was a stolen base. And with 2 outs, Crone got a big hit. Here's the pitch. Ground ball toward third. Machado dives, cannot get to it. The ball gets by Beckham. It is into left field for a base hit. And Simmons comes in to score with 2 outs. And it's a 1-0 Angel lead on a ball that had eyes on the left side. Machado couldn't get to it. Beckham couldn't get to it. And that ball got through. Well, meanwhile, Parker Bridwell, the former Oriole prospect, was outstanding tonight against his former organization. Yeah, he did not, give up a single in the first, but there was no damage. A single in the third, but there was no damage. He got him 1-2-3 in the 4th inning. And then in the 5th, with that lead, well, that's when Beckham began the inning with a base hit. And then Smith, he doubled into the right field corner. Well, the Orioles had first and third, nobody out. Caleb Joseph came up to hit, and that's when the Orioles got on the board. 1-1, here it comes. Line drive into center. That's a hit. Beckham comes in to tie it. Smith being held up at third base. So Caleb Joseph gets it done as he hits it right back up the middle to make it a 1-1 game in the 5th. And then later, after Rickard forced a man, Jones came up, he struck out. And so there were 2 outs. Manny Machado came up to hit with a chance to do some damage, but boy, he got robbed. And a fly ball left center. Well hit on the run. Maben dives, and he made the catch. Maben made the catch in the gap in left center. Machado smoked it, and Maben outran it to prevent extra bases and a couple of runs, at the very least. Nicely done by Cameron Maben. And Bridwell says, thank you, thank you, thank you, as he makes a little hand gesture out toward left field. That was the defensive play of the game. That could have been a big inning, but it was not to be. Meanwhile, well, Hellickson faced only three men in the fourth inning. He came back with a 1-2-3 fifth with two more strikeouts. And then in the sixth inning, well, he struck out all three.
And the 0-2 pitch is inside, ties him up. They appeal to first. He went. And Pujols drops the bat. He can't believe it. Ramon De Jesus, the first base umpire, rings him up. And that ends the inning. And Jeremy Hellickson strikes out the side. So he has nine strikeouts, and he's retired 10 consecutive batters.
Yeah, so how about that? In fact, the Angels this season have struck out the fourth fewest times in the American League. And yet Bundy yesterday had 10 strikeouts, and Hellickson tonight had all those strikeouts, but then he lost it suddenly. It happened in the bottom of the seventh inning after striking out the side in the sixth. Calhoun, a single. Simmons, a single. And then Valbuena came up to hit.
Hellickson deals. He swings away, and he lifts it to left field. That ball's trouble. Heading towards the corner. That ball is up against the wall and in play. Heading towards the plate is Calhoun. And the play is at third base behind him on Simmons. It is a long RBI double for Valbuena, and the Angels have the lead at 2-1. He could not have placed that any better. Smith was over towards the gap, and he hit it almost right down the line against the wall. So three straight hits, and the Angels have a 2-1 lead, and still nobody down.
Yep, as it turned out, they put him ahead to stay. Moments after that, Crone added to it.
And the 1-0 to Crone is lined to left field. That's another base hit. Here's Simmons to score. Valbuena goes to third. He'll be held there. And the Angels have a 3-1 lead. Four straight hits off Hellickson.
And that was it for Hellickson. Darren O'Day came in. He was marvelous. He got the next three hitters. He got a force out and then a foul ball out, and they got two strikes on Maben.
First and third, two down. And the 2-2 is outside. Check swing, and he went too far. Home plate umpire Paul Nart rings him up. Maben throws the helmet, throws the bat, and he has just been fined for doing so, and he's barking as he walks away. So O'Day does a fabulous, fabulous job. He inherits first and third and nobody out and does not allow another run to score.
So there you go. Darren O'Day, outstanding work. Orioles made a bid to get back in the game right away in the top of the eighth inning. Adam Jones was aboard on a two-base throwing error. So he's out there at second base with nobody out. Machado came up. He singled to put runners on first and third with nobody out. But then Scope came up to hit. He struck out. And then Davis came up to hit. And out 2-2, and here it comes. And a breaking ball gets him swinging. You can almost see that one coming. After he took the fastball, he got the big bender, and Davis just kind of waved at it, and he goes down on strikes for a third time tonight. But at least that time he went down swinging. He did, out number two. And then Boom Boom couldn't get it done either. And now Bedrosian again ready, and Mancini waits. And here it comes. Fly ball, left field, but off the end of the bat. Coming on Maben, he will get there to make the catch. And for the Orioles, a deadly eighth inning. They had first and third with nobody out in a two-run game, and they do not score. Ouch. That did hurt. Then in the ninth inning, Angels up by two. Middleton came in to pitch. He struck out Smith after he struck out Beckham. So with two outs and the bases empty, Caleb made it a ball game. Well, Middleton ready again, and the big right-hander again delivers. And Caleb sends a fly ball to deep left. Backing up is Maben. Maben backing up. He's going to jump up, and that ball is gone. That's a home run. Caleb Joseph has hit one into the Oriole bullpen, and a ball that barely gets out, but it did get out to make it a one-run game. It is now 3-2 Angels in the ninth inning. Maben got to the back of the warning track. He jumped up and just couldn't quite reach that thing. This time, thinking about maybe a couple of feet, but it was a one-run game. You thought about the eighth inning when they had first and third, nobody out, could not score. But Rickard came up, and he was unable to extend the game. So now Rickard again waits and count 3-1. Here it comes. Fastball popped it up, first base side. There's Crone, first baseman, infield dirt to make the catch. And the ball game is over. And the Orioles here tonight are in the loss column. And they lose a tough one. They lose it 3-2. Caleb Joseph makes it a one-run game with a home run in the ninth inning. But then Rickard pops up to end the game, and now the rubber game in Anaheim on Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, just a few hours. Jim Hunter in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter back at the Big A in Anaheim, where the Angels hold on and win it by the final of 3-2. A two-run bottom of the seventh broke a one-all tie. Orioles got one back in the ninth, but the Angels held on and won it by a run, so the series now even, setting up a rubber game tomorrow afternoon. Time to hear for the skipper. Let's head downstairs now. Gary Thorne is with Buck Showalter.
Buck, Jeremy came over to give you a chance to win ball games. He took the loss, but he gave you a chance.
Oh, more than that. He pitched real well. Usually that ends up being a W. He deserved a lot better fate. Even his last inning, you know, they didn't do much damage off of him hard. So I think shortstop hit a ball hard. That's about it. But he was outstanding. He and Caleb, you know, made it look that was pitching.
Did you see any problems in the seventh as far as he losing anything in that inning?
No, that's what I said. He, you know, they get a couple balls. Got a flare here and a fly ball to left field in the right spot, but he was good, real good. And Jonathan made a great play out last inning, but we had a shot at him.
Little assessment on the at-bats tonight. What'd you think?
You're trying to give them some credit. You know, Parker's a good pitcher. You know, he, tonight we're really happy for him. Wish we could have given him an L and him pitch well, but we had the right people up there. They Bedrosian really made some really good pitches. We had a shot there. If we could have scratched one across there, we like our chances in extra innings.
Trumbo back tomorrow. Is that the plan?
That's the plan, yep.
And so you make a move tonight or tomorrow?
Uh-huh. Who would you send out?
I'm not going to make any decision on that whatsoever because they get tougher.
I got one for you, Gary. Okay. Why, when a DH gets thrown out of the game, do you get to wait all the way around the batting order before you make a substitution and gain that advantage of waiting that long and picking who you want to hit?
I was going to ask you that because we kept asking for who's taking his place and there was no answer.
Yeah, that's what's a nice rule to recommend they change because really the team that gets the guy ejected has an advantage now.
Well, you're going to be on a...
Except they lost Pujols.
You're going to be on a committee with a chance maybe to recommend that.
I don't think so.
All right, Skip, thank you.
So the postgame comments of Buck Showalter as the Angels win it 3-2 to get even in this series.